Well, I am so thankful to be able to be with you this morning, and always, as is the case, it is a thrill for all of us to be able to engage in a period of Bible study together, and I hope that what we will discuss this morning and later on today will be a benefit to you. We want to welcome you if you're visiting with us today, and thank you for your presence at this time. I want to go ahead and invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, we're going to begin in chapter 1 at the very beginning, and then we will move over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, as that will be the emphasis of our study today. But I want to readily admit to you that you're going to need to come back tonight for the second part of this. A wise guy told me one time that 7 is the number for completeness in the Bible. And so this lesson, if you've got an outline, has 7 points. And we will not get to all 7 of those points this morning. It's not possible. In fact, I hope to use this morning as a point of introduction, and maybe we will get into a point or two of the lesson today. But there's some things that I observed in regular Bible reading, and maybe you have observed those as well. And also, as I was reading the Scriptures, I sometimes come to recognize my deficiencies in understanding God's Word and in thinking about certain things from a particular perspective. And I hope that as we study this morning, you and I are both going to recognize how that maybe sometimes we view reading the Scriptures and how we've read them some ways. We're going to view it a little bit differently today. And I hope that maybe you'll see where maybe you have struggled in appreciating certain things about God's Word, and that you'll appreciate some of these things this morning. The lesson idea that we have and the question that we are eventually going to come to is, how much do you love the local church? That's what we're going to really get to in our lesson today. And so tonight you're going to need to come back because you're going to need to get the full picture of what we're going to be talking about today in our lessons, or in this lesson that's going to be done in 2 sections. But I want you to be viewing and reading and thinking about this material from this question. How much do you love the local church? We're going to talk a lot about that. But before we get into a discussion of how much do you love the local church, I want to go back and I want us to think about an individual who may be underappreciated in the Bible. One of the most underappreciated New Testament characters is probably Paul's travel partner, Silas. And I want us to talk a little bit about Silas this morning, and then we're going to get into this idea of how much do you love the local church. Now, when you think about Paul's travel partner, Silas, we're first introduced to him in Acts chapter 15 and verse 22. You're going to find that Paul and Barnabas have been in Antioch, and some of the Christians there in Antioch who are Gentiles, they've got some questions that they want to have answered. And so Paul and Barnabas, they decide to take these concerns and these questions and go to Jerusalem and meet with the other elders and the apostles that are there with the church in Jerusalem. And they want to get answers so that they can bring these answers of the apostles back to the church in Antioch. And this is termed in Acts chapter 15 kind of as the Jerusalem Council, if you will. That's kind of the designation that some of these writers have given it as you look at that particular passage of Scripture. Now, when they had come to a conclusion about how to answer these questions for the Gentile Christians in Antioch, they decided to write a letter to them. And so the elders and the apostles, they pen this letter, and they need someone to take this letter back. So obviously, Paul and Barnabas are going to go back with this letter. But in order to give this letter some weight, and maybe to help the people there understand, we have emissaries or representatives from the church that are going to accompany these men, so you know this is from us, they decided that they were going to send a couple of men. One of those men was Silas, who is called in Acts chapter 15 and verse 22, one of the leading men of that congregation in Jerusalem. And so now he's going to accompany Paul, and he's going to accompany Barnabas, and he's going to make his way to Antioch. He's going to stay in Antioch there. And you're going to remember that later in Acts chapter 15, Paul has decided that he wants to again go and revisit some of the congregations he and Barnabas had started and established and had encouraged and supported on their first missionary journey. But there's that dissension between the two of them, and that dissension is so strong because of John Mark that Paul and Barnabas separate, and you know what happens then. Paul decides he's going to take Silas with him on his missionary journey. Now, Silas, come up from Jerusalem, where apparently he was living, and was a leading man of the congregation there, helped to take the letter to the church in Antioch in Syria to answer their question, and doesn't even get to go back home. Oh, no. We got another job for you. That job, Paul says, I need you to accompany me, and I need for us to start doing more mission work throughout Asia Minor and Europe. So you're not going home. You're not going back to Jerusalem where you came from. I need you to go with me. And that's what he does. He eventually becomes a travel companion and missionary with Paul. Now, I want us to learn how to love the church through the example of Silas. Maybe you've not thought about this before. Maybe you've not thought about Silas's love for the local church. But we're going to look at how to love the local church through the example of Silas. And if you're like many, perhaps you've never looked beyond Acts chapter 16 to see the more complete picture of the life and work of this great man of God, Silas. Now, we know what happens in Acts chapter 16. We know that while he's on that missionary trip with the Apostle Paul, they come to the city of Philippi. And while they're there in Philippi doing the work that God has called them to do, there's a little bit of a problem with the people. They're angry with them, and Paul and Silas are beaten. And they are put in stocks and bonds. They are placed in the inner part of the prison and left there. And then at midnight, there's the earthquake because they've been singing and they've been praising God. And all the bonds are broken. And the doors are opened. And the jailer realizes that perhaps many of these prisoners have escaped. So he's about to do himself in, and Paul calls him to stop. And of course, you know the story of how the Philippian jailer and his whole household are saved as a result of this and become members of the Lord's congregation there in the city of Philippi, that local congregation. But maybe that's where your understanding of Silas ends. Maybe that's all you think about. But I think an analysis of 1 Thessalonians will help us solve that problem. Because there's a lot of things that can be said about Silas. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, and you notice there at the very end of that, Peter even says, by Silvanus, I'm going to send you this letter. I am writing this letter. The idea in the Greek terminology seems to indicate that he was going to be the deliverer of this letter to the congregation in Galatia and Pontus and Cappadocia, those Christians of the dispersion, as he calls it. Here he's going to send that letter by Silvanus, another name for Silas. So he was actually helpful in the ministry and in the work of Peter. Maybe you never thought about that before. But what I want us to do is I want us to go back to 1 Thessalonians. And I want us to pay attention to this. And this is where maybe we've not read it the way that we should have read it before. You know, when you think about characters of the New Testament, and I'm going to just kind of get you to answer this question for me a little bit. You may just verbalize it a little bit, or you may just move your mouth to tell me. But whenever I talk to you about prominent New Testament characters, who are the prominent New Testament characters that immediately come to your mind? Jesus, more than likely, Paul, and then probably closely behind them are two others, Peter and John. That's right. When you think about the most prominent main characters of the New Testament time, probably those four are going to finish in your top five. Jesus, Paul, Peter and John, and probably about in that order. We think about those guys. And you know what we have the tendency to do is when we think about epistles like 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and all the ones that we give Paul credit for writing, we just kind of assume that all the things that happened within that letter happened to him. Or he was the one that was responsible for what happened in those things. And so we read those, and I've done the same thing. I've preached lessons on the Apostle Paul, and I've talked about how, and Paul in Thessalonica, here's what he did, and we base that off of his writings there in the epistle. But I want us to go back, and I want us to take a fresh look at this. I want us to begin at the very beginning of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I want us to read the first few verses of this chapter. It says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. Now, I'm going to emphasize some words here for effect a little bit. I want you to pay attention to what I'm emphasizing. To the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you constantly, mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. Now I hope that you paid attention to the words that I was emphasizing, because now I want us to move into 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Now, I want somebody to tell me how many times in the writing of this letter Paul said I in the singular. I don't think you'll find one. Absolutely everything that Paul is credited with doing when it comes to the work at the church of Thessalonica, that local congregation, Silas was also responsible for. Everything. We give Paul a lot of credit, don't we? And deservedly so. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. We remember his calling. We remember his conversion. But what we fail, I think, to grasp is the fact that there was a man named Silas who did absolutely everything that the apostle Paul did when it came to the mission work involving this congregation at Thessalonica. And even Paul readily admits it. He readily admits it. So what we give Paul credit for, we need to also give Silas credit for. Now, you know, a lot of times what we do is we put certain people on pedestals, don't we? I mean, we think about the Apostle Paul, and we say, well, you know, I could never be like an Apostle Paul, right? I mean, I'm just not that guy. I mean, he's an apostle. I mean, Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. He literally spoke to him, and he said, you know, you're going to be a witness to me, or for me. I want you to go and deliver the gospel message to the Gentile. I mean, I'm not that guy, right? But maybe we relate a little bit better to some of these other characters in the Bible, right? I don't want to put myself on that same pedestal with Paul. But maybe we relate to some other people. Maybe you relate to a Silas a little bit more. But if you relate to a Silas, or you think about them, and maybe you don't hold them in this high regard, maybe we need to start thinking about it that way a little bit more. And if we consider him like one of us, like I can relate to him a little bit, well, then maybe we need to start acting like him a little bit more. He is an example of how someone should love the local church. And I think that there are some valuable lessons for us to learn. And I hope that we'll start looking at the Scriptures a little bit differently as a result of that, and give the credit where the credit is due. We got 7 points to go, y'all. 7 points. We're not going to get those 7 points today. But let me give you a little taste, because I want us to talk about these. So as a point of introduction, I'm going to share some thoughts with you. And then I want us to develop these thoughts tonight. Let's ask this with the following questions. Do we love the local church enough to suffer for it? To share yourself with it? To sacrifice for it? To speak the truth to it? To serve as an example for it? To strengthen it? To say prayers for it? I want you to think about those things today, and I want you to mull those over in your mind as you consider this question: how much do I love the local church? And tonight, we're going to talk about every one of these a little bit more. We're going to develop these thoughts this evening. Thank you so much for your attention here. Thank you so much for thinking about this godly man of Silas, who was a Christian man and whose goal was to make sure that other people became Christians as well. He loved the local church. He loved the mission work. He was striving to do his very best to deliver the message of God to people that needed salvation. You're going to see evidence of that if you go to Acts chapter 16. You're going to see them in Philippi. If you go over to Acts chapter 17, there they're in Thessalonica and they're preaching and they're teaching. Then they go on to Berea because they've been run out of Thessalonica, and they begin to preach and to teach there. And you're going to read about all of these "we" statements there as well, because he was involved in the work there. His goal was to see that people came in contact with God's Word so that they could become Christians and be right with the Lord. This morning, you have an opportunity to do that as well. If you want to become a Christian, you can respond to the invitation that we're about to extend. And this morning, you can repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the Son of God, to be baptized to wash away those sins, raised to walk in newness of life. It may be that your love for Christ has grown cold. Maybe you're not living as a Christian the way that you should, and you want to make that right with God. We stand ready to assist you this morning. Won't you come now while together we stand and sing?